Welcome to 216, the Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, your agent. Today on the show, I've got Shinmaru, my roommate from SGL. We got to chat a little bit at SGL, but kind of always crossing paths. So we never really had a chance to have like a good long conversation. So making up for that today on the podcast here. Big fan of Shinmaru. I think he's an awesome dude. And I think you'll enjoy this episode. It's a fun one. Got one more week for voting for the Legend of Zelda music draft. Make sure you get your votes in. If you haven't listened to that episode, check it out. It was a really good one. And the voting is pretty close. Click that link and get your vote in for who you thought won that draft. Recording this about 3 hours before the Super Bowl. Rooting for the Chiefs and Taylor Swift. Hate the 49ers. Mostly just because I'm a Seahawks fan and they're a division rival, and we've played a lot and had a lot of really close games, and they've just kicked our ass the last few years. So I do not want to see them win. Go Chiefs. You'll hear this after the Super Bowl. Let's go, I don't know, 17-14 Chiefs. If you listen to the Go Mode podcast, which I'm imagining most of you do, you heard the news that Temp is going to be taking a break for a couple of months. And then going to reassess and see where he's at as far as continuing on with the podcast. Want to say a big shout out, a salute to Temp. Big fan of the Go Mode podcast. Big fan of him. It was really cool to meet him at SGL. And I understand what he's going through. It's a lot of work. You know, making these shows is a lot of fun. It's really fun recording the episodes. Everything after that, putting the shows together and editing, it's just time consuming. It just takes a lot of time. And between life, just regular life and work and your family, and then the other hobbies that you have, you put in a lot of time putting these all together, and it takes a toll after so many years. I did a podcast for 14 years with a friend, and it takes a lot of time. And for most of us, we're doing it for free. Like, I put way more money into 216 than I've ever gotten out of it. And I know Temp and his crew over there have put a lot of money into their podcast. And then again, if you take the amount of time, it's a lot of time that's been taken up. So I understand the need for a break. And I wouldn't be surprised to see if it goes longer than a couple of months. But whether it's just a couple of months or permanent, just want to give a big salute to Temp and everything that he's done for the Rando community. You know, think about all the people that have been racing because of the Mentor Tournament. And he might not even be fully involved in the Mentor Tournament the last few years, but the Mentor Tournament doesn't happen if it's not for the Go Mode podcast and for the people that are part of that community that help raise up other people to make things like the Mentor Tournament happen. And so you think of all of those people that have been playing Rando or become a part of the community or have made like real friends through this game because of what Go Mode has done, and it's pretty special. So huge shout outs to Temp, and yeah, enjoy your time off, dude. Enjoy it. Well earned. So Dante's going to be taking over, the editing duties for that show. And he's got his spoiler log show. So watch what happens with Dante these next couple of months. It's just a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Editing one show is a lot of work. Editing two shows is going to be a ton. So Godspeed to Dante as he prepares to undertake this task. And speaking of editing, huge shout outs to Leoria of Light, who is now the editor of 216 Podcast. She has edited this episode, and by doing so is going to extend the life of 216. Again, I love recording this show. I hope it comes off how much I enjoy talking to the guests that come on, because it really is a blast. That's like the part that I really, really enjoy. Listening back and having to edit through it all, don't love it. I just don't love it. And so the more episodes I do, the more editing I have to do. And it's like, God, do I want to keep doing this? Do I want to keep putting this much time into doing it? And Leoria offered to help. And I said yes. And she's done an amazing job with this first episode. And we'll continue to work on following episodes. And it's going to help extend the life of 216. So huge shout outs to Leoria. She was just recently on the music episode, and she has done an episode in the past where we got a chat. I think it was season 2. Just an awesome person. Yeah, if you're enjoying 216, a lot of it has to do with her coming on board and helping me out. So if you're in the Discord, make sure you shout out Leo, because 216 is going to be happening for the foreseeable future because she is now part of the team. So love it, love it, love it. Very excited about the future. The 216 Co-op Crosskeys tournament is just about over. I think we have our top four. Okay, so two teams are in for sure. Team, I'm pronouncing this wrong, Trarig, which is Schulzer and Teto. They're playing a Jimmy and Jim Jang, which is Allison and Goomba. They're playing that Monday, and they're both in. They're both undefeated. No matter what, both are going to the top four. Nick Hera Basement Cage, which is Telethar and Humbug, beat Gamachu and Megawatt today to earn their spot in. So congratulations to them. And currently racing right now as I record this, Have We Checked Our Boot is taking on the Marty Carey. That's Tam and Worfjig versus Zelga, Dasan, and Dr. Marty. Winner of that is the final team into the top four. And then we'll move on to the bracket stage from there. So GG's to everyone. Most of the races have been ran this week, but I hope everyone had fun. It's been a lot of fun playing co-op cross keys, and I'm hoping to play some more. Mugu and I had a great time. We still have one more race to do, and it's been a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun racing with Moogle, so I hope you all enjoyed it. There is a casual random co-op tournament that was just announced, being run by Shireen, Gamachu, and Moogle Charm, and I signed up with Ramon, hoping to get some more co-op cross keys in there. You have the option to run a couple of different modes. It defaults to co-op AD, and if teams agree, you can race a different mode. So you can do Endomizer All Dungeons, which has a full boss shovel. You can do Cross Keys, which Ramon and I are going to be pushing for. And then you can do an Open Key Sanity. That sounds awful. Well, I don't know why anyone would want to do Open Key Sanity. That's not All Dungeons, but whatever. I'm never saying yes to Endomizer All Dungeons ever. So we won't be running that mode. We're gonna be trying to get some co-op cross keys in, but you know, co-op AD is a lot of fun. The tournament is coming up at the end of February. If you want to sign up, signups are open now, and I don't know when signups close, but the tournament starts February 26th. So sign up before then. All right, let's get to Shinmaru. I always try to find common ground to start the interview off with, and we talked a bit at SGL about movies and our love for movies, and we kind of pick it up right there. So let's get to it. Here's Shinmaru. What was the last good movie you saw?
The last good movie I saw? Like, how good are we talking here?
I don't know. What's your definition of good?
I didn't. I don't know. I had a good time. I watched a couple days ago a movie from the 80s called Dead Calm. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. We got Nicole Kidman, Billy Zane, Sam Neill. That's pretty good. It's a pretty decent thriller. It's like one of those thrillers, like, where, you know, the story can't happen unless people do dumb things.
Right. Totally.
So, but if you could accept that, it's like,
you gave it 3.5 stars on Letterboxd.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah. So is that's your definition of good then?
Yeah.
3.5 stars. Okay.
Yeah.
You watch a lot of movies though, right?
Oh yeah. Like, not as much like recently, just because, you know, Rando takes up a lot of time. I'm sure. Just like addicted to Rando. Like,
sure.
But you know what, I can't, I like, you know, have a couple, I think I told you this at SGL, I have like a couple of movie watching groups I have every week, one with family and one with like longtime internet friends.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I did my old podcast, it was mostly covering movies. So I used to watch a ton, and I feel like I'm not watching as much anymore. But I always get excited for Oscar season, even though the Oscars are silly. Like, you know, the award shows are dumb. There's no real reason. Yeah. It's all just arbitrary and who like campaigns and stuff like that. So it's not really the best movies of the year, but I do get excited about like watching, you know, like the nominees for the best picture and get caught up in some of the other stuff. And, do you follow any of that stuff?
Not really. I kind of distrust the Oscars in general. Cause I sure. like shitty taste.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So what about like Oppenheimer and Barbie? Those are like the two big ones from last year.
I have not seen, I'm always behind on like current movies just because going to the theater is just so much more expensive now. And it's like such a hassle. Like, I'm always way behind unless the real, like, people I really trust are like, hey, this is really good. You should go see it. And I'll go see stuff. But like, I haven't seen a movie in a theater in like 2 years.
Are you serious? 2 years?
Yeah. 2 years. But the last one I saw was, I think the most recent one David Cronenberg made was, I think it was Crimes of the Future.
Wow.
That was the last one I saw.
Wow. That's intense. Like, I don't love going to the theaters. Well, here's the thing. I actually love going to the theaters. I love watching a movie on the big screen, you know, eating popcorn. I hate everything about the movie going experience, though.
Yeah.
I'm always around people that talk. Mm-hmm. It like Nothing bothers me more than people that go to the movies and don't watch the movie. That stuff blows my mind. I remember this is a long time ago. We went and saw Rogue One, mm-hmm. which I do not like, but
I'm with you there.
which it's full of Easter eggs. It's just a movie of Easter eggs, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're like one of those like fanboys who just like love Easter eggs, like, oh my gosh, look at there's blue milk. You know, like that's the type of movie that person is aimed at. And the person right behind us, either right behind us or right in front of us,
of course,
literally pointed out every reference to his girlfriend or significant other. And I had to say something because I couldn't take it. Like, we were like 10 minutes in and there's like a shit ton of Easter eggs already. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a movie full of it. And he's got to explain every single one. Not that she was asking, but he just got so excited about him. And I'm like, dude, it's not even like you're whispering. You're like, I just couldn't. That's the type of thing where I'm like constantly around people that just want to talk through the movies and I can't stand it. Yeah. But I do like seeing it on the big screen. Like Oppenheimer on the big screen was really cool. But
yeah, I wanted to see Barbie because like my mom is like, you know, not as much anymore, but she was like a big Barbie collector over the years, and like my siblings and I kind of wanted to take her to see it, but it's not that she didn't want to see the movie, but she's kind of like, you know, she's like in her 60s now and it's like harder to like sure. you know fucking like go out and like, you know, sit down in like this kind of like maybe comfortable maybe not seat for like 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah, that's the other thing is a lot of our theater, we don't have a major movie theater here, we have two independent theaters. Mm-hmm. They're awful. The theaters are awful because there's no competition. There's no like Regal or no, and that's fine. Like you want to support local and stuff, but like if you're going to be like have the monopoly on it, then like take care of your theaters. And like, no joke, they didn't take debit or credit cards until,
oh my God,
2019, 2020. Like I'm not joking. It'd pay cash for everything. It was nuts. So your love of movies, where did that come from? Was it, did you grow up like just loving movies? Is it a familial thing or?
So like when I was, I guess, younger, like I wasn't as much into it as younger. I would watch movies with family, right? They would take us out to like family movies or like Disney. Like that's the kind of stuff watched a lot of growing up. It wasn't until I took like a class in college because like, you know, you see you're in college, you're like, oh, I got to fill up my elective or somehow. And you're looking for the kind of like the, I don't know if they have them still now, but like when I went to college, I was fucking like old as hell. They had like this big, like kind of book of like, oh, this is the next, these are the courses coming up for the next quarter or semester or whatever. And you see like, oh, hey, there's a class about watching movies. I'm going to take that because I'm like 19 years old.
Right. You think it's going to be like just a waste of time, a way to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was actually, it was a super cool class. Like, I just watched a bunch of movies I never heard of before, like all sorts of eras, kind of opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. And you kind of challenged us to think about the movies in like a different way that, like, you know, never even thought about growing up. Cause I'm just like kind of, you know, just watching movies, enjoying my family or whatever. And back in the day, it was like so easy to like get your hands like whatever movie you wanted, like even like not even like, you know, illegally or whatever, like Netflix was like actually good back then. Like their DVD service was like actually super cool and affordable. My college library, just like tons of DVDs I could check out whenever I wanted. And I guess I don't know how library systems are, you know, in the rest of the country, but Los Angeles County library system's like really good. You could just kind of browse on the internet, find if like any library in the system has like something you want, just like request it to be delivered for free to whatever library in the other library system you want. So I just like to watch like a ton of movies in like, you know, college, like early 20s that way.
So I'm looking just at your like recent Letterboxd page, like what you've watched recently. And it seems like you're not a big genre movie fan. You don't like, doesn't look like you like sci-fi or superheroes.
It goes and comes in waves. Like, you know, I try to watch like new stuff. Mostly, like, if I rewatch stuff, it's usually with, like, you know, one of my group watches. Like, you know, I like sci-fi. Like, superhero stuff, I'm not as big on. Just only because it's kind of, like, been saturated. You know, it's kind of like you get too much and you get a little tired. Sure. There's definitely exceptions. There's always exceptions.
The Flash is not an exception.
No, that was, like, oh, my God.
So what's it take for something to be 5 stars? Because I see a couple of movies that I would consider 5 stars to be that are only 4.5. Everything Everywhere is 4.5. Parasite is 4.5.
I don't know, because I don't really take my ratings that seriously.
Oh, okay. Like, it's more of just like a whatever.
Yeah, just kind of how I feel in the moment. I personally I don't even trust like half the ratings I have. It's like, because like a lot of them were like import, like you could import stuff from like IMDb. Uh-huh. And I chucked it in, and I rated a lot of movies, and I was like in my early 20s, and like my taste is like super different.
Sure.
And also like, yeah, I don't even, if I haven't seen a movie in the past like 2-3 years, like I don't trust my opinions on it, because I just too much I don't remember.
Okay, so Letterboxd has that thing where like you put your 4 favorite movies on. Mm-hmm. You have The Thing, Doctor Strangelove, Sunset Boulevard, and Videodrome. Would those can still be considered your 4 fave?
Maybe not. It's been a while since I've seen Sunset Boulevard. I kind of wanted to rewatch that recently, actually, just kind of see what I think of it now. But it's tough. Like any kind of hobby you get like really into, and you like watch a ton of stuff, or like or video games, you play a lot of stuff or whatever. I feel like your taste just gets so distinct and specific.
Sure.
That it's like it's like so hard to like single anything out as like, you know, a favorite anymore.
Can I say this? I don't like Doctor Strangelove. I know that's like,
oh, really interesting.
Terrible to say, but I just did not connect with that movie at all. Like,
I could definitely see that, especially with like a lot of like older movies. Like
I mean, I love older movies.
Like, exactly. But it's like, you know, a lot of things are just like different, right? You know, yeah, like the style of humor is different, the way they film is different, the acting is different. Like so many things. Like I've definitely seen people who are just like old movies in general, you just can't deal with them. Just like everything's just so different than modern movies.
I think I would hope at least that I have the sensibility to like enjoy something for what it is. Like I watched Casablanca for the first time 2 years ago, and I loved that movie. I thought it was excellent.
Oh yeah, it was awesome.
But Dr. Strangelove, just for some reason, of all of Kubrick's movies, just didn't connect. I mean, I feel like there's always a disconnect with me and Kubrick anyways, but
I can definitely see that. He's definitely a very kind of cold movie maker and a director in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Like, especially for a comedy, it just doesn't work. I don't know. Like my sensibility, I guess, just isn't quite the same. And I get what he's trying to do, but
comedy is like so super, super subjective.
Super, yeah, for sure. So you weren't watching movies as a kid? Were you playing video games?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like my family, I was like a big Nintendo family. Mm-hmm. So you know, like my dad and my uncle were like, especially like very big early adopters of like technology for like a long time. Mm-hmm. So we had like NES when I was growing up, Super Nintendo, all that stuff. Like,
were you playing it or were your parents playing
I was playing it, and okay. My dad and my uncle were playing it too. Like one of the stories I like to tell that makes me smile is that, you know, they played like the Legend of Zelda, you know, the original one. Mm-hmm. Together, and this is like, you know, I was back in the day, so like Nintendo Power I don't think was a thing yet. I don't remember when that started publishing, but okay. Definitely, you know, internet was like not even a thing for like the vast majority of Americans,
right?
Obviously like strategy guys not a thing. I don't even know if maybe the Nintendo tip hotline was something back then. I don't know. I don't remember when that started, but
yeah, but that was probably like a 900 number, right? You probably had to pay
exactly.
Whatever, a bunch, yeah.
But yeah, they would like play through it on their own, and like kind of like at the end of the day, they'd call each other like, "Oh, I found so and so like here in this area." Like, "Oh, I found this and such." Like, they kind of like go through the game together, almost like a co-op thing.
That's awesome.
Weirdly, they would call each other up and just kind of share the secrets they found together. And I was kind of,
your dad sounds awesome. He's already into video games. My dad didn't play video games. Like when he did, he wasn't very good, and then we couldn't play it for very long. So
yeah,
I mean, my dad is cool, but not that kind of cool.
Yeah. My dad doesn't play like video games that much anymore. Just because, it doesn't really interest him. He kind of likes his crossword puzzles.
Sure. Yeah, I get it. So, how old are you when this is happening? With the NES and the Super NES?
I mean, it came out the year I was born. I don't remember. I don't know. I guess I don't know when he would have bought it.
But so you just remember it always being there?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
Like my first game was like, you know, Super Mario Brothers Duck Hunt combo cart. Mm-hmm. I was like a big fan of like Super Mario Bros. 3, Super Mario World. I was probably as much, if not more, of like a Mario kid.
Oh, really?
I was a Zelda kid. Yeah. Like I like the Zelda games a lot, but the Mario platforming is just so good.
I kind of agree. Like I feel like for me growing up, I loved the idea of Zelda, but I wasn't very good at it, like the first Zelda. But Mario Brothers 3 was like everything to me. I played so much Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, especially specifically Mario Bros. 3 is just like there's like so much like variety. There's like so is there's like the power ups, like the different worlds, all the bosses you're fighting. It's just like it just felt like so much bigger.
Yeah,
especially as a kid compared to like every other game I was playing at the time.
Well, what else were you playing?
I think the standards, like, you know, the Super Mario Bros. 2, Zelda. We had like a. I'm trying to remember like what other kind of random cards we had. Gauntlet, I think, other stuff like that. But Super Mario Bros. 2 was definitely the game I kept coming back to again and again and again.
Did you have a certain character that you really liked of the four, or did you always mix it up depending on the level?
We're talking about Super Mario Bros. 2. I think I liked Luigi. I like the crazy jump.
Sure. I mean, that was such a novel concept coming off of Super Mario Bros. 1. Like, you can jump all crazy and then you know, fly with Peach. So cool.
Yeah.
So did that continue? Did the Nintendo love in your house continue as you got older?
Oh yeah, Super Nintendo and N64, GameCube, yeah, all that.
What was your experience with Link to the Past? Did you have a memory from playing Link to the Past? Or
I considered it my favorite game for like a long time.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Was that one you're playing it a lot then?
Yeah, playing that a lot. Super Mario World. Mario World 2, like all that kind of stuff on the Super Nintendo. Yeah, it was the one probably still my favorite console overall, just because, you know, all the memories as a kid and just like so many amazing games.
Mm-hmm. What else were you playing?
Let's see. Definitely, yeah, Mario World, like the past, Mario World 2. I like I'm not in love with them now, but I like the Donkey Kong Country games back then. Super Metroid. Although I've still never beaten Super Metroid. It's kind of like a Hall of Shame thing for me.
Any thoughts of ever going back, even maybe playing the randomizer? Or
I actually tried streaming Super Metroid because I wanted to beat it for the first time, like on stream, like way back when I was starting streaming, like rando. And then I just got distracted by something and just like never went back to it.
Understandable. I've done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what it was about Super Metroid, but it just, maybe the difficulty or something, I don't know, just compared to like Link to the Past or you know, Super Mario World, is just, I just never really fully connected to it.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough game to get a grasp on at times, just because it feels like some more, I guess to me it feels more technical.
Yeah, you know, as I say that, my brother has been playing Link to the Past, just the vanilla game, because he didn't really play it when we were growing up. And he keeps calling me to like walk him through it because he has no idea where to go, because the game doesn't really hold your hand or like tell you where to go. I think back about these like Super Nintendo games. It's like, man, how are we supposed to figure any of this stuff out?
I've often wondered that myself, just kind of thinking to myself sometimes, like, how did I ever beat these games? Because definitely do not remember how I made my way through. Yeah. And like, you know, like I was talking about before, is like, you know, this, like strategy games and stuff like weren't like a huge thing. And so I'm like wondering, it's been a while since I played through like the vanilla games. So I don't even remember if like NPCs or anything kind of point you in specific directions or whatever, like you would in like an RPG or something like that.
I think they do, but it's more vague, way more vague than it is nowadays. Like everything kind of holds your hands nowadays. And you could do a lot more, but man, there's like some super vague hints and specifically Link to the Past where it's like, how are you ever supposed to figure any of this out? It's pretty nuts. So did you consider yourself a Zelda fanboy, or was it still mostly Mario? I don't know. How much did you branch out of the main like core of Nintendo with Mario and Zelda and Metroid? Was your interest diverse, or was it kind of like towards the main?
It's mostly towards the main, I think, because it was like, you know, the biggest thing. It was like the games that you buy, you know, Nintendo consoles for, right? Especially, you know, especially from like N64 on, when PlayStation, you know, entered the arena, you know, Sega still was like releasing consoles. It felt like, you know, more like N64 still had like kind of like developers making other games for it, right? But still, like the Nintendo products were like the big draw.
That continued on for you, you said, past Super Nintendo, you got to the 64 and the GameCube and stuff?
Yes, 64 GameCube, yeah.
Did you dip your toe into the PS world, or?
Yeah, so I think my like late in the PlayStation like life cycle, my uncle got me a PlayStation for Christmas. I think that was when it was like probably like half the price it started at. So, and I really like the PlayStation a lot too. Like some of them like obviously don't help like, you know, visually whatnot, because it's like, you know, the earlier 3D thing, it sure. was kind of like chunky and weird and ugly, but there's a lot of really interesting cool games.
Right, like what,
for the PlayStation? Like, you know, I'm a big JRPG guy, so there's a lot of really cool JRPGs like Square and Enix, like even before they like kind of got together, like making like a lot of really really cool kind of interesting games. Like, you know, the main three Final Fantasies games I like a lot. You know, Xenogears, really cool game. Vagrant Story I liked a lot when I played that. Even though I came to that kind of later, and I definitely needed a guide.
Sure.
Because yeah, it's like one of those kind of like very kind of inscrutable mechanics that like if I tried to figure it out on my own, I would just like drive myself insane.
You say JRPGs. Were you playing any of the Final Fantasy games on like Super Nintendo or Nintendo before, or any other RPGs?
Yeah, I was kind of a latecomer to that stuff. Just I had like no idea what like an RPG even was until I played like Super Mario RPG.
Okay.
Like I looked on, you know, you see, I see the title and I'm just like, I don't know what an RPG is, but I like Mario, so I'll try this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was my first JRPG, and it's like, it was really fun. It's like very, you know, it's still like very approachable. You know, understand it kind of is, it's really cool. I like how it kind of marries like Mario mechanics to like kind of RPG stuff to kind of like give you that kind of baseline of like what to expect.
Yeah, it's a good good way to introduce someone to RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Because I remember trying to make the leap to Final Fantasy VII. I had no idea what I was doing at all.
Uh-huh, like, yeah.
I was like, what is happening? I have zero clue what any of this means.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also kind of dumb.
Yeah, I really loved some RPG, and that kind of branched out to like Final Fantasy VI was like really, really big for me. Even something about the game now, it's just like I love it so much. Like the just like even like in comparison to like other games of the time, like the story is like such a humongous sweep.
Mm.
Like, you know, everyone talks about like kind of like how cinematic it feels like in comparison.
Mm-hmm. And you were playing it back when it originally came out?
Like a few years after.
Oh, okay, but still early enough.
We're talking like probably like 97, 98, I think.
Oh, yeah. So that's still early. Yeah.
So I think it came out like 94 in America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still played it on like the original SNES card before I bought like, I think it was Anthology. I can't remember if it was Anthology or Chronicles or whichever compilation it was ahead. Final Fantasy VI for the PlayStation.
Do you revisit those older games every once in a while, or
sometimes I there's like so many new games and I want to play, it's like hard to like for me to like say like I'll go back and kind of revisit this game I've already played through.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it occasionally. I definitely have like kind of like the itch to do it, to go back to some older games sometimes. I like a lot, like I've been kind of like randomly wanting to replay Final Fantasy VIII a lot recently. I don't know why, but
something's itching.
Yeah, I see it in my PS4 library. I'm like, what if I just like abandoned everything and just mainlined Final Fantasy VIII for a few days?
So are you playing a lot of new stuff? Are you like always trying to find new things like on Steam or different systems and play current new games?
I think with any hobby, it just kind of goes ebbs and flows. Like I've definitely gone back to like newer games recently. Like random kind of took up a lot of my video game time for a long while. But I've been trying to like kind of balance things out a little bit more, because I don't want to burn myself on randomizer. So I've been playing some new games late recently. I played Bloodstained first time. That was a fun game. Like I think there's other Metroidvania type games that are better, but I had a good time. And I played Yakuza Like a Dragon recently. I'm a big Yakuza fan. Love those games. And I think making Yakuza Like a Dragon into a JRPG with a JRPG mechanics is like, oh, just works splendidly. It's so good. Just everything, all the goofy fun stuff I love about Yakuza, but with a kind of a battle system I'm more into.
Mm-hmm. That sounds cool. Did you play the Dreamcast?
I did not have a Dreamcast growing up. I always kind of wanted to have one because
I just feels like that would have been perfect system
for you. There's like so many like weird games on the Dreamcast. Like one game I've never played, but I've like watched people play it a few times. It was a game called Illbleed for the Dreamcast. It's like kind of a weird survival horror game, but it was like a B movie style, like kind of like a loving parody, right? You know, not sure. Like
right.
So like you, it's just all about like kind of going into different worlds, kind of modeled on like, you know, like their like movie stories or whatever. It's all just kind of like very weird, kind of loving, like intentionally B movie like satire. And it's such a funny, weird game. But I would never play it because the mechanics are just like I would never have the patience to deal with them now. But and you guys are just like full of just like crazy shit like that.
Sure. Totally. I just remember the Dreamcast because it did have like you said, those weirder titles, and it didn't really catch on, but man, it feels like there was just like, it was doing and being more creative than some of the other consoles and games that were coming out at the time.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it came out like a few years before its time. Like, I feel like if you came out with something with the Dreamcast now, like it wouldn't be like humongous, but I feel like there's a niche or something. Like a console like that now.
Yeah. It was too early. Came out too early, and it was and killed Zelda or Sega. But you know, what are you gonna do? So as you get older, do you dip your toe into computer games, or is computer games something that you're playing as you grow up?
A little bit. Like, I'm gonna break the trend of your guests. Like, I was never like a big MMO guy. Never like a big kind of like arena shooter guy or anything like that. I played games on, like, I don't really have like a like actual like PC. Like, I just use a laptop for the most part, just because just the way my home setup is. Just like, sure.
I mean, a laptop nowadays does more as much as a PC does. So yeah. Did you do anything competitive as you were growing up? Did you play sports or any sort of gaming that was competitive?
I would play sports occasionally, just but only like casually. Like, I was never a really competitive person growing up for like a lot of reasons. I think like the main reason is that just like I had just like terrible self-esteem growing up. So I never like see myself as like, you know, someone who could compete with like other people or stuff like that. I watched a lot of sports growing up. I don't watch as much now just because
you don't have any time.
I don't have the desire to keep up with it. But
yeah.
I watched a lot of baseball growing up, basketball. I was a big tennis guy growing up. Tennis is one of my favorite sports to play. I can't play it now, but it would just absolutely wreck my body. Like, tennis is like
it's so hard, dude. Yeah.
It's so physically demanding. Like, my legs would just explode after like maybe like 10 minutes. But
sure.
But just like watching, I really loved watching it. And then I was like, during the era, it was just like a lot of like heavy hitters on men's and women's side. So you know, Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi, Federer, Rafael Nadal, the Williams sisters, Martina Hingis, like those kinds of people are just like amazing tennis, like all the time.
Yeah. I never really fully got into tennis, but a lot of those names that you mentioned, you couldn't, if you're in the sports world, you couldn't get away from them. Like, there was just bigger than even the sport itself. So
yeah. Especially if you watch like SportsCenter a lot or whatever at the time.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, I watched a ton of SportsCenter because it was like, well, I think now I haven't watched SportsCenter in 15 years. You know what I mean? Like, there's no real reason to watch SportsCenter anymore.
Yeah.
As there was growing up with like Dan Patrick and Rich Eisen and all those guys, Stuart Scott. Yep. So you had a self-esteem issue, or maybe, I don't know if you still do or not. I don't want to.
Oh, no. I smartened up and got therapy years ago.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. So do you think you would have played more or tried to do more with like sports and stuff if you had believed in yourself a little bit more, or do you feel like comfortable with where it all landed?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, even now, I'm not like, you know, feeling better about myself. I'm still not like, you know, super, super competitive. Right.
Sure.
Like, I'm competitive enough. Like, I think everyone, if they're doing, you know,
you
something,
want to win. Right. But it's not, you're not going to lose sleep if you.
Exactly. Go, right? Yeah. Yeah, I'm not like Michael Jordan applauding the downfall of my enemies if I lose.
Yeah. I'm trying to kind of picture you growing up because you're such a chill dude. So let's talk a little bit about, we'll get to like your intro to random stuff, but you and I shared a room for SGL. Mm-hmm. Dude, you're super chill. Like, oh, yeah. I think Beer told me, you know, you were looking for a roommate, and he knew that I was looking for a roommate, so we reached out and made it happen. But it's not like we really knew each other going into it, so it's kind of like you're getting a roommate with someone you don't really know. I hadn't been playing a lot of Rando. I hadn't been watching a lot of Rando. So as you kind of were introduced, I saw your name here and there, but I didn't really know you. So there's always that kind of fear of like, who am I rooming with? Because we were there for a long time, you know, Wednesday to Monday. I was there. Yeah. Wednesday to Monday. It's like, hopefully this dude is cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I get that. Yeah. I think I told you while I was there, but I used to go to conventions like a lot of the time, and I would meet a lot of like, you know, online friends. And there's always a kind of like trepidation when you're meeting someone. Sure. So you like interacting with online, you know, but people often can be like different online than they are like in person. So there's always a little fear like, oh, are we going to, you're gonna mesh, or they're gonna be cool, or they're gonna be fucking weird.
Are they gonna smell? You know what I mean? Like, like.
Oh yeah, I was an anime convention rather, so that's definitely a concern.
You just never know, and again, you and I didn't have a lot of interactions even online, so I couldn't really tell if like, oh man, who is this guy? All I had is this like weird picture that you have for your Discord. I still don't know what it is. But you know, I kept, you know, Gamma was like, you know, he's really cool, and Beer, same with Beer. And so I wasn't hesitant. It worked out really well, but you were one, an awesome roommate. And I found you to be like super, super kind of chill. And like, you feel like you're kind of like a go with the flow type of dude. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's definitely like a holdover, like from a little bit of holdover in the self-esteem. Cause I was definitely like an introverted bookworm type as a kid. And that was kind of mostly just transfers, like kind of like I feel just more comfortable kind of dealing with things as myself, and not just not like getting angry or like super emotional about just like every random thing. I know how to pick my fights, right?
Sure. I mean, that's smart. It sounds like, and you did mention you did therapy, but like being able to approach that doesn't mean everything's like perfect and life is perfect and whatnot, but it sounds like you're more equipped with tools to just be who you are and be okay with that.
Yep. Yep. For sure.
And I think it's cool. Like I have a hard time. I don't know if you listen to the show, but I had a hard time at SGL where I think there's an expectation of me because of the podcast and because I'm been around in the community for a long time that I'm like going to be more extroverted than I actually am, or like people just assume that I'm going to be like fit in everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
and I found at SGL being kind of lonely, that kind of stuck. And since I've had that conversation, I've had some good talks with different people who either felt the same way, or it was like, hey, I didn't know you felt that way or whatever. Like, tell me a little bit about your experience, because I felt like, you know, we shared a room and I didn't see you a lot. I felt like you're out doing stuff all the time. Do you find that you don't have that same sort of issue, or you just kind of like plug yourself in? And
yeah, I tried to I tried to push against my, you know, anxieties a little bit, it's still a little hard to approach. Like some people I haven't had interviewed. There's definitely people who were there that I wish I talked with more. Hopefully if I can return again and you know, make better of that this year. I really found myself gravitating people I knew a bit more. Like, you know, I hung out with Beer a lot, hung out with Dr. Earworm, I Am Cody a lot, like folks like that who I kind of already, you know, I was already in their like kind of friend circle.
Sure.
And I was listening to, you know, your episode with Norsk Maddie a couple of days ago, you know, kind of catching up on the podcast. And I think he was talking about his first experience at SGL like the year before. Kind of like, you know, he found it a little tough to like, you know, approach a lot of people because it's like the first time he's like seeing all these people. And he found it like a lot easier to kind of insert himself into groups of stuff, like, you know, the second time around, kind of knowing people a little bit more. I feel like that's probably how I'd hope it would go. Second time around, I get over myself a little more and find it a little easier. Just like, hey, so and so, I barely ever interacted with you online, but hey, let's talk a little bit.
Right. Yeah. So you did find this was your first SGL, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you did connect with Maddie in that way, where it's like, I don't know. I felt like you were. I didn't see you a lot because I felt like you're out doing stuff. So my assumption was Shinmaru is the life of the party going here and there. But I didn't know.
I mean, I tried to be out doing so just because I felt like that was the point of being there, right?
Totally. Yeah, totally. I just, how do you get over yourself was my issue, right? Like, it's not that I don't want to do stuff, but how do I insert myself into situations that I'm not necessarily most comfortable with?
I think if for me, I'm just used to, at this point, years after therapy, I'm just used to like, brain, shut the fuck up. I'm just going to do shit. Yeah. You just easy to tell your brain to go fucking kick rocks every once in a while.
Totally. But it's also easy to say that and sometimes hard to execute.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So did you watch any speedruns, or did you start watching Twitch or YouTube videos as you were growing up, or did that come later?
Definitely later. Like, even now, I don't really seek out speedruns a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I find it a little hard to connect to watching speedruns just because, like, you know, I don't play a lot of those games, so it's like harder for me to appreciate, you know, the work people have put in. Like, objectively, I know people pour like so much time. Mm-hmm. Into like getting really good at some of these games, but like having not played them myself, it's just like it's a little harder for me to appreciate.
Did you ever have any interest in speedrunning anything that you enjoyed?
Not really, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I would watch like, you know, GDQ events, and that was kind of like the most of the extent.
Was that your introduction to speedrunning?
I think, yeah. I heard of it as, you know, kind of like a concept.
Sure.
Then I got to know people like vaguely that people would like try to beat games as fast as possible. But that was for the most part, that's my big exposure to like speedrunning as like a scene.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I'm in a similar boat where it's like, sure, you had the idea of what a speedrun is, but you didn't know, or I didn't know what that entailed, like how much work, how much breaking of the game there is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the communities around it. It wasn't until Link to the Past Randomizer for me that I realized, hey, wait a second, people are running this game as fast as they can.
Yeah. Yeah, especially as I grow up and like my interests diversified, it's just like it just felt like there was like less time for me to like just replay and stuff like it. So I never really felt that itch like I'm gonna get as good as this game as possible. I'm like, I would usually just kind of play a game long enough to, you know, beat it and
then move on.
Appreciate it and move on. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So what was your introduction to Rando then?
Well, stop me if you've heard this one before, but I first learned Randomizer existed watching, was it 2018? Was it the GDQ 2018 with Andy
and Christos?
I kind of rewatched it recently. I don't even remember, but they played Swordless.
Yeah,
like I kind of blew my mind. I was like, wait, they played Swordless back then? I did not even remember.
Yeah,
that's what they were doing.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
But yeah, that was the first time I saw Randomizer, and it just kind of it blew my mind. I was like, you can do this with a game? What?
And this was also one of your all time favorite games, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. And they were like showing me, like, even though it was like one of my all time favorite games, I had never like 100% in it. So they're like showing me things like I didn't even exist. Like, there's a mimic cave. What the fuck is this place?
Right. Right. Totally. So did you pick up a controller? Did you try to download a seed, or was it just, this is cool?
It took a while for me to try it, because it just felt like, oh, this is so much to learn. It's just so overwhelming. I don't know if I could try this. Mm-hmm. And then like during the pandemic year, it was like, okay, well, I'll take the time and like maybe see how a seed goes, and like I played a little bit more, like, but it didn't really totally click for me until I joined the ladder and like did a few races. I would have been like near the end of like 2021, I think.
Okay, so this is like years. So
Yeah.
So you see it, think, wow, that was a neat thing to see, but I have no interest in it, in trying it.
Yeah, exactly. I kept up with it. Like, I would watch races, like, here and there, watch tournaments. Like, sometimes, although, and it wasn't, like a heavy watcher. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't really start watching a whole lot of Twitch until I started playing Rando myself and, like, followed a lot of people.
Sure. Okay, so the pandemic happens. We're all home. You're watching all your movies with your friends still.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I need something to do. Let's try the randomizer. That's kind of, is that the way it kind of happens?
That's pretty much, yeah.
So how long are you trying it for, where you're just trying to like figure it all out?
It would be like a seed every once in a while, or for a few months. Obviously when I started, I was like very bad at it. Because first of all, I hadn't played like Link to the Past in years. Because I just kind of stopped going back to it after a while.
Sure.
And then, and obviously, like, the demands that Random places you are just, like, kind of way different than the vanilla game. Because you're just getting thrown into situations that you would never get thrown into.
Yep, yep.
In the vanilla game, so, like, that was hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And, I almost stopped playing entirely at one point, just because, you know, I hadn't, like, engaged in the community, so... just on my own is a little difficult for me to like gauge like how to get better at the game.
Mm-hmm. So your idea wasn't like, let me race this. Let me just try this out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And it was tough.
Yes.
Especially when you're doing it by yourself.
Yeah. And I was definitely approaching it like completely the wrong way. I would like kind of get frustrated. Like, oh, why am I not as good as Andy? And it's like, you fucking idiot. It's like, you just started. He's been playing Rando for like a million years. Like, dude,
yep. Come on. Yep. I feel like that's not just a Rando thing. I feel like people like watch anything. Like, people watch football and they're the best coach in the world. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, why exactly. is this coach doing this? And it's like, dude, like, yeah, they get paid lots of money or whatever, but like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. Even if you do have an idea of what you're talking about, they've been doing it for years and you've been watching for years. So it's like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even with Rando though, I did the same thing. Whereas I was like, I started racing, I was getting my ass kicked. I'm just like, how come I'm not better than this? It's like, because you, one, you don't put the effort to get better. And two, you're brand new. So get good, dude. Okay. So what was it that made you then join the ladder? If you hadn't been racing and you really hadn't been playing.
It's just because like there's a more like I'll give this one more chance. Let's see if this clicks with me doing this. Because I watched a few people. I watched Andy. I watched Willard J. Bradley because I really like Willard's comms were definitely another big thing that kind of drew me in.
Mm.
I always like listening to him do commentary on Jesus. He was one very funny, and two, he kind of explained the game in like a very easygoing way that was like very easy to connect to. So I watched him a lot on Twitch. So I was like, all right, let's give this one more chance, see if it clicks in me. Let's do the same kind of racing that they do. And obviously I kind of lost my first few times.
Sure. This was your first time racing, period, right? Like, you hadn't done any pickup races or?
I might have done a couple of race time races. I don't remember.
Okay.
Like maybe like Speed Gaming Dailies or something like that, which I also got crushed.
Sure.
But I think the thing that really kept me around is like when I started, let's start watching, you know, other people do the races, see how they approach it, but also just kind of engaging with the community more. I think that's really what kept me in the fold. Like 100%, I could say I would absolutely not be playing around today if it weren't for Mr. Ed 3.
Because
he was one of the people I kind of sought out. Like literally, I saw like people join a race and they're like, okay, I'm going to pick one person to watch and see how they run this race, try to learn from. And I picked Ed because he had the funniest name.
Sure. Yeah.
So I like go to Ed stream and watch. And this is like kind of back when Ed was newer. I think he'd been racing for like maybe like half a year at that point. And his stream is bigger now, but he was definitely like playing to a much smaller crowd back then.
Mm-hmm.
So he sees he has like a new viewer, and if you've ever been in like Ed's stream, like he's still the same now back then as he is now, and he's very much like consummate showman type. He loves to talk, loves to engage people. So he sees like he has a new person in his stream, and he does like the most Ed thing possible. He says, "I am going to beat all the pendant dungeons. I'm not going to do any crystals. I'm going to beat all the pendants. I'm going to pull the hook shot from the pedestal." And he does this, and this motherfucking horse called his goddamn shot, pulls the hook shot, and just blew my mind. So I became like instant friends with him from there. Learned a lot from him. Slowly started to get better. And just like, it was more like kind of, He like introduced me to more people like Beer, MindDM, Average Frustrated Gamer, people Smirk, JD, just people like that, and just like making friends. I think is what kept me wanting to play Rando more than anything.
Sure, it's cool that you're able to find a community so quickly, because I feel like that can be a struggle for a lot of people, is trying to figure out like, who do I click with? And you know, Mr. Ed and you know the AFG or and Beer and all them are really good people to like create be in a community with, because they're so fun. I think fun is the perfect word for it. They don't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah. And then the thing with me is it's just, I just been online for like 10,000 years. Sure. Like, since like, I think 96, 95, 96 is when my dad got like his dial up modem. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of experienced and just kind of like searching out communities on the internet. And I'm just like, at that point, I'm just like not afraid to just like kind of approach people.
Put yourself in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you, do you consider yourself a memer then? Because I wouldn't consider you a memer. Because the group that you're talking about is the biggest group of memers in the community for sure.
I kind of keep it close to my chest now, but I definitely was like a big, like Twitter absolutely fucking sucks now, but
sure,
I was definitely a big old shit poster on Twitter back in the day. One of my favorite things to do when I was on Twitter was just like see just kind of random posts my friends would make, and just like it would just like bring like a flash of inspiration to me, and I would just spend like 5 minutes make some like stupid ass MS Paint bullshit and post it at them just to see if I could make them laugh.
Sure. So it makes sense that you fit in with that group then, for sure. Oh,
yeah. 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 We definitely have like a lot very similar kind of sensibilities in terms of just like how we approach shit, like sense of humor, stuff like that.
Sure. And you get good. Like being around people that are good at the game helps you get good at the game, surprisingly, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
So kind of tell me about your experiences then as you continue to play the game. Do you join tournaments? I know you joined the league.
Yeah. So I tried out the main tournament, I think, was it? It would have been 2022 and didn't even come close to making it. I think what was my score would have been like in the 50s maybe.
Okay.
So yeah. Like way off.
But you're at this point, you're what, like a 6 months in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like slowly getting better. You know, just from like playing more, getting a little more comfortable.
Did you join the Challenge Cup?
Yes, I did join the Challenge Cup. I think I made it out of my group because I also entered the Mentor Tournament around the same time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like the 2022 Mentor Tournament. So I was definitely learning a lot from people around. I'm like, actually, kind of funny thing is I actually got rejected from the Mentor Tournament when I first applied. Because
they thought you're too good.
Yeah, a little bit too good. But they had some drops, and then they kind of approached me again after. I was like, "Hey, do you want to do this?" And I'm like, "I'm probably gonna regret it if I accept." Because I actually didn't apply at first. I thought I was maybe a little bit of the skill level they were searching for. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad I did it because I learned a lot. And that's like, that's the thing about getting better is like, unless you're learning from people who know what they're doing, you don't know what you don't know.
Totally. Oh yeah, 100%.
So like, I learned like so much shit from like everyone who mentored me.
Who were some of the people that you meant that were your mentors?
So the first person I asked was my friend TJ Joel, who was like one of the first people I faced on the ladder. And I like became friends with him. I was like, I watched his stream. I just found it a little easier to approach someone I already knew.
Sure.
And then second week, I was like, okay, I'm going to approach someone I don't know just to like, get over that hurdle. And my second week mentor was Structural Mike, and the funny thing is that we lost that week, but I learned like so much. Like with the mentor tournament, like the wins and losses didn't matter to me like at all. Is it the experience, like learning was like the important thing to me. And I would say the weeks that I lost, I think I lost twice in the Swiss rounds. I think those 2 weeks I learned the most.
Oh, for sure.
Purely like tricks. Movement stuff, just tech, just like random things. Like, so those, the weeks I lost were still like extremely valuable.
Totally. I feel like losing is where you actually do the most learning in anything, right? Because you're able to figure out like, why did I lose? And then try to correct those things.
Yeah. I think my other mentors were Nielsen Alex, which I think I told you this once, but during my week with Nielsen Alex, we never did Back of Escape because I forgot about it. And he's like, no, it's dead forever. It's dead. It's dead. It's dead. Awesome. That was hilarious. Ed was my mentor the week after that. I think fifth week mentor was, they went by Dreekian back then, but they go by Dreeky now, but I haven't seen them stream for like 2 months. I think they're probably taking a break from Rando.
Sure.
And then Beer was my mentor last week.
Okay. It's a good set of mentors for sure. A lot of diverse approaches to the game and people that are all really knowledgeable as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for when I...
And TJ is one of my favorite people. I don't know if you know this, but in season 2 of The League, he played cross keys. I want to say it was one of his first times playing cross keys. And he won his race with a time of 8 hours and 38 minutes and 31 seconds.
I think I've heard about that. Yes.
Oh man, it was one of the best. Like, he just did not give up. It took him almost nine hours to complete the seat, and he won. Man.
That's awesome.
That is so awesome. Yeah. All right. So you're playing in the mentor tournament. You're getting better. How does the joy of rando happen?
All right. So that came about. I think so my teammate Ari Stark 2942 started racing maybe a little bit after. Well, I don't know if they might have started racing a little bit before then, but I saw them in like Speed Gaming dailies and stuff a little bit after I started on ladder. And I remember very specifically like kind of one race I was in that I finished ahead of them. And I'm like on stream, just kind of this big shithead, like, oh, I beat the Arya Stark.
Yeah.
You know, I read the Game of Thrones books. I never watched a TV show, but you know, I knew who the character was, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a little kind of funny offhand thing. And we were in the mentor tournament together. We got matched up 1 week and they beat me because I skipped Graveyard Ledge.
Okay.
So that was fun. And so then League comes out. I was like, oh, I kind of want to join League. I'm not sure who my teammates with. And Arya DM'd me saying, hey, you know, we've been in races together. We've been in mentor tournament together. Are you interested in forming a team? I'm like, sure. You know what? Let's do that. And we're kind of coming together, thinking about, okay, who's going to be our third? We want someone who's kind of like, you know, chill, not like, you know, we weren't looking to be like, you know, super competitive team, right? Mm-hmm. We weren't like aiming for like invitational or first season or whatever. We just want someone who's gonna, you know, have fun. We'll try to be as good as possible, but just having fun together is like kind of the main goal. And we have, you know, we had a few people we'd want to ask, but someone who like popped in my head like immediately was a Smirk JD. Mm-hmm. I know he's like super chill guy, super nice, just a very lovely person. I wasn't sure if he would accept because he is maybe like the, in terms of like temperament, he's like the least competitive person maybe I've ever met in my life.
Sure.
It's like the results truly do not matter to him mm-hmm. whatsoever. And he like even brought it to me. He's kind of worried like that. He was like unsure about trying League again because the winning losing thing, like he just doesn't want to bother with it, right? Sure. He just wants to have fun playing with people. But yeah. He's like, but you know, I know I talked to him a bit, and like we've been friends for like a little bit by that time, so kind of like knew each other like decently well. And he says like, well, I know you're the kind of person, you know, I can vibe with on a team. Like, you're not going to be like get on my case if we're like not winning or whatever. And you know, I vouched enough Arya, because I'd like from the interactions we had been having in DM, like I know they were like a very similar temperament to that as well. I was like, you know, let's just give it a try. Let's get together and see, you know, how it goes. And also, we just was clicked like super well as like, sure. You know, people around our teammates.
I feel like the Joy of Rando is a perfect name for the team as well, because it feels like that's the goal of yeah. of the team is like yes. wins and losses or whatever, but like let's just have a good time.
Yeah, that name was definitely Arya idea. So Smirk kind of wanted like a teen in that would be kind of like a positive vibe to it. But Smirk and I were both like terrible at coming up with names, so we weren't sure. And then Arya came up with the kind of like came out playing off like the, you know, the Bob Ross angle, the joint painting to Joy Rando. Like, oh, that's perfect because it a dual meaning that I like.
Yeah,
yeah, it has both like, you know, positive. But also a little ironic because let's be sure. Honest, this game kind of sucks sometimes.
Totally. Yeah, 100%.
And it gave me the kind of also what I liked about it is that it gave me that kind of same flash of inspiration as I, you know, I talked about having on Twitter, and that I made our logo in like a half hour based on that.
It's very MS Paint.
Yes.
Sort of feel to it. Yeah, I love it. It's great. I'm going to put a pause on Randall really quick. You mentioned you read the Game of Thrones books, but you didn't watch the show. How does that happen?
I watched the first season of the show and just like never kept up with it for some reason. It's kind of weird because my family has the Blu-rays too. So it's like, it was not like it wasn't available. It was just like, eh, I don't know. I don't feel like sitting down and watching it.
Okay. Did you like the books? I mean, you read them.
Oh yeah. I like the books. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Even though I've kind of given up hope about the series ever
sure.
finishing, but yeah, I really like the books.
Sure. Okay. I was just curious because it feels like if you read the books, you're going to want to watch the show. But then you watch the show, it's like good for 3.5 seasons, and then you get...
Yeah, I was say, I heard the show kind of like...
Oh, it falls off a cliff hard, super hard at the end. Okay, so it feels like you kind of are good where you're at in the Rando community. Like you've got your people. It sounds like you enjoy playing the game, even when the game sucks. It sounds like you're having fun with your league team. Is it fair to say you enjoy kind of the Rando community and your part in it?
Oh yeah, for 100% for certain. Yeah, despite all the complaining I might do on stream playing Seeds, I have no complaints about my place in Rando at all.
Are you? Do you? Because you're still, I would say you're young in your Rando years. You've been playing for a couple years now, but do you see yourself playing for the next few years as well?
Yeah, like. This is definitely unusual for me because I don't usually stick with games that long, but just Rando just kind of scratches that itch.
Sure.
For me, right. Because it's like,
it's a new game every time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's kind of like exactly what I want from a game like this, right? At this point in my life, it's like a very compact experience. Like even like Crosskeys, like I wouldn't say like 2.5 hours or whatever is that long, right? For sure. Like a single PlayStation. So it's like, mm-hmm. you're getting like a kind of a unique experience, like a unique story, and like, you know, every time you play a Seed, and that's something I kind of like really appreciate about Rando.
Totally. So you did you know, season 5 and season 6 in the Open League. When season 7 rolls around next year, you know, we got a whole year off, do you see the joy of Rando coming back, and do you hope to be in the Invitational, or do you like being in the Open because of your sort of team's approach to like, hey, let's just have a good time? And the Invitational can be a bit of a try hard, right? Like
it's tough to say whether we'll be back, only because of like life circumstances.
Sure.
Because Smirk shared this in like other places, so I don't feel terrible talking about it, but he and his husband, like, you know, they recently had twins.
Mm-hmm.
And Smirk's random time has gone like, you know, way down like recently. Like he's basically he'll hop onto like a speed gaming pickup like every so often, but most of his playing recently has just been doing our co-op races in the co-op, your co-op Crosskeys tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to say whether he'll still have the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as his like daughters kind of grow older and just like demand more
mm-hmm.
of their attention.
Sure.
I would definitely want to still be in league. Like I'm sure, like I like playing with Smirk, I like playing with Aria. I'm sure there's plenty of people in the community, you know, we can get along with. So I'd like to still be in league. So it's definitely with league still, the next league season being, you know, pretty far away.
You have time to figure it out.
For exactly. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you planning on like going or trying for the main tournament? Did you qualify for the last main tournament?
I did. Yes.
Okay. How was that experience?
It was fun. Like, last year was the first time they did like asyncs. And honestly, that like, I really liked that just because my work schedule is like very non-standard. So I found it like very difficult to get up like get into enough of the qualifier races. I think I barely had enough. Like I was able to get into like the bare minimum.
Hey, it doesn't matter.
Number of races.
Exactly. Yeah. Hit that number. Yeah. All you gotta do is hit the number.
Yeah. But doing asyncs just made, I think for me, it just made it the process like so much less of a hassle.
Sure.
Like, I'm the type of person, like, I don't mind just kind of sitting down and knocking out a seed. Like, I don't have to be in a, I know some people, like, I know Structural Mike is like this, like, he just doesn't want to play unless he's in a race.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'll knock out a seed every so often. Like I try to do more async stuff just because it's nice to have like comparison times.
Sure.
But sometimes I'll just like, you know,
just play the game for fun.
Exactly.
What a novel idea.
Yeah.
That's a crazy idea, dude.
Yeah. Play the game for fun. Yeah. The main tournament was fun. I was in, like every group was tough in the main tournament. So, I think my group was Spleeby, 2C, and, Kolbapa Bell.
Oh, okay.
So
did you
play some heavy hitters? I did not know. I finished 2-4, but I got close in a couple of races. I think I played like Ambrosia against 2C, and then that one was kind of messed up just because I had like an unfortunate death when I would have been on my way to get like, I think it was Mirror and Saha. And then, so that kind of messed me up a bit. And then our other race was the McBoss, and that was actually pretty close. I think I finished within like maybe like a minute ish of 2C, and I'm like, you know, I feel pretty good about that. 2C is an amazing runner.
Yeah, for sure.
And Yeah, Spleeby definitely destroyed me in our first race. But I was like within like 3 minutes of him in our standard boots. So I'm like, you know what? Spleeby's amazing runner, amazing NMG runner, amazing glitch runner. So I'm like, you know what? I'm finishing within a few minutes of that guy. I feel pretty good. So
yeah. It always feels good when you're competitive with someone that is really good, right? Like, it always kind of, I feel the same way where it's like, Moogle and I have lost by like 30 seconds to Lin and wall kicks. And it's like, that feels good. Like, we were, those are both like Kroski's champions and we're right there with them. That feels really good. But for some reason, when I'm racing against Gamachu, I get pissed when I lose, even though I could be really close. I don't know what it is with Gamma, but he's the one exception to the rule.
Oh, yeah. Gamma was in my SGL group, so I raced him.
Oh, okay.
SGL. And I was like, I guess Gamma, you got to talk some trash to him. And I was like, I always tell him, like, you better be on your game. I'm going to fucking clown you, dude. I'm like, I'm going to use the Jewelist spread. I'm going to use the Phoenix Rice spread. I'm going to use the Jewelist spread against you, dude.
Yeah. Did you beat him?
And no, I did not beat him, but I was at Moldorm 2 when he finished. So it was a super jet seed too. So he's like,
oh, nice.
So yeah, this is a jet, and I'm like at Moldorm 2 with Gamma finishes. Like, I feel great about that.
Yeah, totally. Do you think you'll ever run a tournament, or do you ever want to be in like any sort of like leadership role, like a TARC admin, or?
To be honest, no. Yeah. Like, I might do it like a support role. Like, I can just see myself as like a mod.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, like just kind of like helping people out with stuff. But I was like zero interest in being any sort of leadership, like ever.
That's smart, dude.
Yeah,
that's smart.
I did my time as like a internet forum moderator back in like early 2000s. And
yeah,
if you were on the internet back then, it's just absolutely Wild West nonsense. I'm like, I have no real interest in being any sort of authority figure anywhere after that.
Sure. Dude, it's been super fun. I gotta ask you like the one last question though. And I'm sure you knew it was coming. How do you handle tilt?
In the moment, poorly. Okay. For sure. Like, I literally have an example of this from like over the weekend. I was in the Speed Gaming weekly kind of casual boots thing they started up, and that seed was like fucking terrible. I like last located out my ass. I was like so pissed. I'm like, literally at the end, I'm like, I'm never fucking playing casual boots again. This move fucking stupid. like, literally my comment in there is like, the worst, there's never been a Kroski seed that pisses me off more than a bad cast boot seed. It's like the saltiest shit.
I know. Yep.
But like after the moment, like, you know, here now, like, I just laugh it off. I just like, I don't care after it's done. It's like, what's done is done. What happened, just like laugh it off and move on.
How long does it take you to laugh it off, do you find?
Oh, like immediately. Like as soon as I'm done, I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I just move on, forget about it, and just like have a laugh. Like, I don't like to take it like that seriously. Right? Mm. It's like, if I'm just sitting here stewing over a video game, then what the hell am I doing with my life?
I mean, yes, but we play a rando, right? Like, it's sometimes hard to separate those two, or to even be able to come to that conclusion so quickly.
Yeah. But also, just like objectively speaking, it's just really funny to be mad at a video game.
Sure. Oh, boy. Oh, totally. It's so dumb. It's so dumb to be mad at this computer, especially when it's like, you get mad because you feel like it's against you. Like, oh, you're getting all these seeds. It's like, it's a freaking random computer, dude. It's like,
that's definitely a common refrain in my team. Like, oh, this game's fucking cheating. This game's fucking cheating, dude.
I always get this da 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 da. So, yeah.
Yep.
It has a bias against you for sure. Yep. Well, dude, thanks so much for doing this, man. I had a blast. And thanks again for not being a smelly asshole roommate. Like, I would 100% roommate with you again.
Yeah, well, thank you. Same to you, man. You were a great roommate. Like, I've had my fair share of internet roommates over the years. So you're definitely top tier, I would
say. Awesome. Once again, I want to thank Shimar for coming on the show. Big fan of his and the way he approaches life and the game and just everything. Just a cool dude. I love how kind of level-headed he is. I love, like, the quiet memer. He's just a good dude, and it was really good to catch up and kind of learn what makes him tick. Hope you enjoyed that one. All right, so next up on the show, got Magno, German runner. Don't know a lot about Magno other than you usually see Magno with Brogar. So maybe I got to double team it and go Magno into Brogar. But excited to learn more about Magno. Excited to have some more German on the show as well. So come back next week for that. Again, get your votes in for the music draft. I'll announce the winner on next week's show. Again, huge shout outs to Leoria for editing this episode and being a part of the 216 team. Join the Discord. 216pod.com has the links to the Discord. Lots of conversations going on over there with the tournament and with sports. You know, football's winding down. It is sad. It's the last day of the football season, but we've got lots of other sports coming up. Baseball's right around the corner. Basketball's kind of getting into the thick of it. Hockey's in the thick of it. A lot of different stuff going on there. Chatting about different tournaments. Just a cool place to hang out. So come join us at the 216 Discord. Again, links at the website. I think that's going to do it. Thanks for hanging out. See you next week.